Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
Brexit. Brexit, the gift that keeps on giving. You have probably heard that Theresa May's deal was once again rejected last night in Westminster. And the second time that that has now been rejected leaves the UK in turmoil with regard to Brexit at just 17 days away from the scheduled break with Brussels. Events over the next 2 days will clearly have a major impact on how and when and indeed if the UK does leave the European Union. And it has also emerged this morning only that the UK government has said that they will not introduce any new checks or any tariffs on goods that flow south to north across the border. So goods from the Republic travelling into Northern Ireland, they're not going to put a tariff on that. It remains to be seen how that will all work. But what do people in the border areas feel about this? How do they feel about the prospect of a border returning, about the prospect of trade tariffs? Maybe there are towns that practically straddle the border in this part of the country. And to discuss all of the issues involved, I am joined now by John Sheridan, who is a farmer from Fermanagh, which is the neck of the woods we're in today, and a member of the Border Communities Against Brexit lobby group. John, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
I have you there now. Firstly, how do you feel sitting here in beautiful, leafy, green, sunny Fermanagh and thinking of the events unfolding in Westminster? Are you filled, I suppose, firstly, with the horror at the mismanagement, it seems, by the political system of what Brexit should or could be?
Of course I am. And I worry about it every day for the last 3 years. You know, if I never was a farmer, I would still have been voting Remain. Why would I leave 450 of my closest neighbours and the best customers? Obviously, when you look at Westminster last night and its disarray, and you're told that it's the fifth largest economy at the moment, how long that will last is another thing. But a large economy like the UK cannot, after 3 years, come to a trade agreement with the largest consumer group in the world, being the EU. And when we had a workable situation, obviously the North is unique. Northern Ireland is the most integrated of any region of the United Kingdom because of the land border it shares with Southern Ireland. It's the only land border that the EU have with the UK. And it's threatening not alone the agricultural industry, it's also threatening every other industry in the north, and threatening a lot of industry in the south also. So this has been a huge burning of, well, this is like burning money day and daily. And how the UK can afford to do that, I really don't know.
But, tell me this, John, what did you make of what you heard this morning about the potential no tariffs flowing south to north? Now, there will most certainly be tariffs flowing east to west. So, in other words, if you have your goods or your cattle or whatever you're exporting to the UK, leaving Dublin Port and heading across the Irish Sea, there will definitely be tariffs. But they're currently saying they won't put tariffs on goods, for example, that might travel from Cavan into Fermanagh. What did you make of that?
Well, there's a facility there under WTO that if it's a case that it creates a division of peace and harmony, or if it creates a problem with a peace accord, which it would be, obviously, with the Good Friday Agreement, then it's the precedent there under WTO rules, and I presume that that's what the UK are taking advantage of and saying, look, we're not going to put any, we're going to let goods flow freely from south to north. And it's it's this sort of batting the ball back to the EU and saying, what, you know, it's up to you. If you want to put a land border regulatory system on your side of it, that's fine. But as far as we're concerned, we don't care. Now, this morning, it seemed to be at one stage, and I think there was one clip where it said that those southern products could come into the north and beyond, which led you to believe that agricultural produce could use the north as a land bridge into Great Britain. Now, reading further this morning on further clarification, it seems that no, that's not the case. It has to stay in the north, and if it moves
so
out
if
to
moving
Holly
on
Head
from
or some
Belfast.
Other,
to that Liverpool or somewhere, they wouldn't. They would be
right.
At that point tariffed. In effect,
right.
I mean, you're yourself from a unionist background, but in effect, if what the UK are saying is correct, and maybe there are some leeway around World Trade Organization's rules for reasons of, as you say, peace and harmony, and not aggravating local political divisions.
Yeah.
But what we're looking at there is the backstop having been extended to the whole Ireland and the border now becoming the Irish Sea, which was something that the DUP said was a red line. What do you think about the management of this from the unionist perspective, from the DUP perspective? And going forward, how do you feel about the actual tariff border being in the Irish Sea rather than on the land border within the island?
Well, there already is the regulatory line there at the moment and has always been. There are many differences between Northern Ireland and Great Britain. And really the backstop was just to ensure the protection of the EU single market that it would have to be regulated for before it came onto the island of Ireland, because you couldn't obviously have a situation where you could have South American beef or North American chlorinated chicken coming into the UK, coming into Northern Ireland, and then going through a porous border. So that's what the backstop was all about. And, you know, communities across the divide, across the political divide, many businesses, look at 94.5% of the businesses in Northern Ireland wanted the backstop. And yeah. The backstop was only an insurance policy. And had the deal gone through, then we would have gone into a two-year transition period to hammer out a trade deal that left the backstop null and void and no need for it. And in fact, if those 2 years were over, they still could have extended the transition period by another year or even two. So to the business community and to the farming community, or a large percentage of that farming population, when we could have had what was perhaps the new Singapore of the world here with Northern Ireland, being able to have unfettered trade with Great Britain and also with the EU, to now be looking at the North becoming a virtual wasteland. And as you rightly say, all over the backstop, why could it not have been with the withdrawal agreement? If it was invoked, then you sit down and you hammer out a trade deal, and the backstop just ensured that people left the table, but before they did, that they concentrated their minds on to making sure they'd have a trade deal. So, yes, it does. It beggars belief, and it's becoming rather ironic the way that the whole of the island of Ireland is going to be treated as such, as a backstop anyway.
Can I ask you, just as somebody, because obviously as somebody who is from a unionist background, you would vote mostly, how people vote is either along nationalist or unionist lines, but the DUP's position is contrary to most of the business interests, as you've quite clearly pointed out. Who do you vote for now up here if you're a unionist but you're a farmer, or if you're a unionist but you're a businessman, and yes, you want to maintain your links with the UK and with Great Britain, and you believe you're British and you're a unionist, but equally what's happening is self-sabotage in terms of family businesses and indeed of people's incomes and people's livelihoods. Who do you
Absolutely.
Vote for now?
Well, you never ask anybody in the North who they vote for. That's all as a contentious issue. But look at it's about, you know, you have a family to rear and a business to look after. And it's for most people, they don't have a problem. The backstop did not affect the sovereignty of the Queen over Northern Ireland. It didn't affect any ideology. It was purely there for economic reasons. And look, you know, you have to think of the bread and butter on your table tomorrow morning. You can't eat a flag, and you can't walk into a bank and work out. You know, agriculture is always a long-term production. It takes 3 years to rear an animal, or at least 15 months in an intensive situation, but it's a long-term thing, and you can't walk into a bank manager and say, we hope that things are going to be better. You need to be able to put facts and figures down on paper. And at the present time, with all the balls in the air, you don't have a clue, and it doesn't look very good for us because, you know, on a lamb situation, we're looking at half the UK has around 18.5 million ewes. That represents half the European flock. We need to export, and at the present time, 50% of the lamb does go south, and we need that market. 35-37% of milk from Northern Ireland is sold to Southern Irish processors. On the 30th of March or the 1st of April, how does that milk go across? And it would actually be subject to a 17-cent tariff, which is half the price that they're getting for it at the present time.
Yeah.
We're the same with the lamb. We'd be facing a tariff of 75% to get our lamb across. So there's not that margin isn't there. So our lamb production would just go off the top of a cliff. And worse
John,
than
it
that,
also,
yeah,
on a it no also strikes me that potentially it isn't just about north south. It's about intra UK business as well. I presume farmers in Northern Ireland do not want to see the UK market flooded with chlorinated chicken, flooded with Brazilian beef, cheap imports, maybe with lower standards, but potentially undercutting local agribusiness at the same time. It strikes me that we're at a juncture here where we could, as you have rightly pointed out, you could see Northern Ireland or possibly even the whole island of Ireland finding a sweet spot so we become the Hong Kong or the Singapore, as you say, with access to both the UK and the EU. But equally, we could end up north and south in a lose-lose situation. If you were a betting man, if you were keeping your eye on Cheltenham, if you were a betting man, where do you think we're going? Because there is a potential that the island of Ireland, or in particularly Northern Ireland, could find itself in a very good position post-Brexit. But equally, as you said, we could be a wasteland.
Yeah. And the odds are shortening on that all the time. It looks very much like as if we're resigned to a wasteland. Because there seems to be absolutely no consensus in Westminster. At the end of the day, we're only in Northern Ireland, are only about 2.7% of the population of the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, we're very small on the economy. We depend on an 11 billion stipend coming from Westminster to keep the North going altogether.
Yeah.
My God, under the backstop and under a trade agreement with the EU, we could actually have become sustainable. And it seems like as if now, then we are just back at the begging table all the time. But the crucial thing about this is farmers in the north are going to be under a different agricultural means of protection and produce and payments. And the minister, Gove, at the present time is saying that from 2020 to 2027, he is going to cut those payments by 50%. And at the end of 2027, there are going to be no payments. So the farmers in the north are going to end up with no payments, losing their markets, and also then having the insult of having to compete against cheaper produce from around the world.
Yeah.
Now, at the moment, for what has happened this morning, and the word on tariffs is that the UK are going to put tariffs on the like of North American and South American produce. But you must also understand that they're saying this morning that these tariffs in this situation is only a temporary thing. So we still haven't a clue. In fact, we have less of a clue each hour as to where our future lies. Really,
John, when you describe it in those terms, the potential for cheap products coming in, the erosion of markets, the tariffs, I mean, you're very much describing an industry, an agri-industry in the north going forward that may not exist, that could in fact be wiped out. Are farmers in Northern Ireland and indeed other businesses in Northern Ireland putting the DUP under pressure to change their stance? Because they're the only representation that you have in Westminster. Obviously, Sinn Féin still has an abstentionist policy, and you may agree with that or not agree with that. But the only voice that is coming from Northern Ireland that is being heard in Westminster is the DUP. And a lot of people look at what they're doing and think they are committing economic suicide in terms of the North. Are the DUP under pressure here from their constituents to change their position?
Well, they're certainly under pressure from the business community, and the business community obviously would represent a large amount. You know, it would obviously the people who are working for them reflect a fair average throughout the community. So obviously business, I'm quite sure, have lobbied and lobbied hard with the DUP to keep the status quo, to keep the economic status quo that we have at the moment. And as I say, you know, this wasn't affecting sovereignty, and it wasn't affecting any ideology. So I'm sure the business people are tearing their hair out as to why the backstop couldn't have been accepted in some shape or form. Nobody ever voted the matter whether to be remain or leave. Nobody walked into a ballot box to make themselves poorer. And, you know, in the face of no plan by the DUP or by Westminster as to how they're going to trade in a no deal or even in a Brexit situation, it's very, very hard to see. Look at Westminster, how they're going to trade. Westminster have written to 170 different countries saying that if they produce to the EU standards, are they willing to do an international trade deal with them? They've only had 6 replies to date. So, you know, the world has moved on. It's not the place it was 40 years ago. It's not the place it was 10 years ago. The market has, and globally, has become very small and very short. And it's all about working inside trade blocs and working together. And that is a thing that I think that Westminster has to learn yet. And they don't really understand the situation on the island of Ireland. They don't understand the border situation between both north and south. Yeah, and it's not on their radar.
Last question for you, John. Yeah. It would seem to the likes of me as an observer that Northern Ireland has been an afterthought in Brexit at every turn. The border didn't seem to register as an issue with people. The economics of the North didn't seem to register as an issue with people. How do you reconcile Westminster's indifference to Northern Ireland with your unionist values?
It just proves a point that they didn't think about this. They never thought of the border. Don't forget that the referendum, there was only 2 choices, leave or remain. And people made a decision on their own ideas, beliefs and thoughts about it. But I'm quite sure that most people who walked into those ballot boxes never thought of a customs union. They never thought of a single market. They were, look at the Leave campaigns, largely found to have been run on an illegal basis. So
with the indifference the UK has shown towards Northern Ireland, how, as a Northern Ireland unionist, do you say, yes, I still want to be part of this team, I still want to be part of this club, when the club has shown you such disrespect on an ongoing basis for the last at least 2 years?
Well, I suppose...
I mean, it is fair to say Dublin has been more concerned about Northern Ireland than Westminster has.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, sure, look, even when people were asking the British government as to what they needed to do to mitigate or to be able to work in a Brexit situation, they frequently pointed businesses in the direction of Dublin and says, ask Dublin. We don't know. So it's really, you know, you talked about voting there and so on. You're really, you know, you're getting into the realms of which union do you want to be part of? Do you want to be part of the UK union or do you want to be part of the EU union? You could also throw that ball
into
the air.
Reflect on that?
Pardon?
Has it made you reflect on that yourself?
I think it's making everybody reflect on it.
Okay. Look, thank you very, very much for speaking to me. That is John Sheridan there, a farmer from Fermanagh. We are in Fermanagh. We're on the beautiful banks of Loch Earn in the Loch Earn Resort here today with Lunchtime Live. John is a member of the Border Communities Against Brexit lobby group.